Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hey, baby. Dating and love, seek treatment. If you're boring as fun, seek treatment. If you're unlucky in love, seek treatment. If you just can't take a hint, well, seek treatment. With Kat and Pat.
Hi.
Hey.
It's Katharina Katrina.
And it's Pat. And this is Seek Treatment,
a podcast about boy sex, fucking, dating, and love.
Is for whatever the way you that look means at to me. You and L love is for means the only guy different I see. In every culture and oh, every very, all very... different ways you can express love in your different love language.
Oh no, my thing just unplugged.
Oh my God.
You guys, okay, well, this it's is not absolute... going good. Sure, Joseph, you're not going to believe what happened.
Am I allowed to speak?
Sorry.
Yeah, we're doing
the entire time Pat has been doing a motion like don't speak.
I know we did kind of agree that you were gonna watch us do our intro and then we were gonna bring you in. So I was as shocked as anyone at what just happened. But leave this in.
I'm wearing a hospital gown, leave it in. I'm wearing literally a hospital gown. I'll tell everyone why.
We're so excited to have family on the pod.
It is so relaxing to have our blood relative joining us today. This is, of course, it's famously a sex podcast, but today we're talking friendship and art as well.
And sex. And so please welcome to the pod, Geosev.
Known to some
as George Severitz. Welcome to the pod.
Hi.
Thank you for coming on the pod.
Wait, I just want to say, we're recording on a Monday morning, and to get a text from Pat on Sunday night, as I was like planning my fucking Monday morning and being like, oh God, I have to do that and I have to do emails and I have to like put pen to paper, to hear that actually instead I'd be doing a podcast. I've never gotten better news.
You know, we didn't have guests for a long time. Now we're trying to have guests, but we kind of forgot how you have to like be constantly like reaching out. It's so hard. How do you do it?
Well, the timing of it, you know, do I suspect I'm replacing
Plaza? The craziest thing is
I actually knew
you're not replacing anyone because we literally just can't schedule our own podcast. And so we're texting last night. I'm like, let's get a guest. I'm like, let's get family. Let's get Gio.
Totally. Like, our first ask is going out at 11 p.m. the night before. if you're being replaced, you're getting it. It's like 5 minutes. It's a 5 minute warning. Everyone should be on alert.
I do have memories of like in the early days, as you say, beginning of the pod. I have memories of being at my old day job in Uptown and Pat texting me being like, can you come into the studio now?
I never, ever did that.
I actually
just unlocked a sense memory of being in the studio and texting my friend Caroline and being like, hey, do you still live in Park Slope? Because we need a guest in 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Gio, I told Pat this, but I don't know what happened to me last night, but I think I got some kind of wild food poisoning because I was out to eat and then was out at a bar and then I got home and I started uncontrollably vomiting all over myself.
So I know what it is.
What?
You have norovirus.
Wait, someone I know has that. Oh, I
had it too.
Wait, what do you
mean? Someone that we all know in Los Angeles has that and had it on set. Someone that we all knew in Los Angeles has that and had it on set.
Wait, really? Wait, tell me what's happening.
Last month, first of all, oh, actually not last month, this month, because it's still February. I have gotten sick twice this month. And I would say I have been sick more than 50% of the month, which has led me to my new movement, which is destigmatizing having Munchausen and destigmatizing having a psychological illness that makes you think you're sick.
Totally. Well, I thought I must be sick last week. I broke down physically and I couldn't run. Like, I just couldn't run, basically. And so, and then, like, since I've gotten home from LA, I've slept for, this has been my, it's been 9 hours, 8 hours, 11 hours for my 3 nights of sleep since I got home from LA, and still I feel tired.
Yeah.
Okay. I have been unable to, well, okay. Let me first answer your question, Catherine. So I went to dinner with our dear friend, Mary Beth Barone, a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, I missed her.
And we went to Redacted Williamsburg restaurant. And then afterwards, as soon as I left the restaurant, it was like out of a movie where you're like, oh,
yeah.
So what is neurovirus?
Okay. So I was like, oh, I have food poisoning, because I was having classic food poisoning symptoms, aka vomiting and diarrhea. I'll call a spade a spade.
Yeah.
And then I kept being tired for like a full week and like not being able to get out of bed. And then I started hearing other people, and they were like, yeah, I had food poisoning too. I had food poisoning too. Richard Perez had it. It was like going around. And then we all sort of realized en masse that what we had was likely norovirus, which has similar what are they called, side effects.
I'm about to diagnose someone. I'm about to diagnose someone on the podcast. Sinclair Johnson, defending U.S. women's 1500 meter champ, had norovirus before Melrose Games, and that was the meet that I left the famous Brooklyn Crab event to go to. And I just watched an interview with her where she was like, yeah, I thought I had food poisoning, then other people started getting it. So it must have been some random weird thing.
Well, this is so crazy because, so last night I'm like, I rarely ever throw up. And also, like, I feel like anytime I've thrown up, like from drinking too much or something, it's like a labored, like, I'm trying to make myself. This was like, it was cartoonish. I was sitting up straight and it was like, blah, 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 and it wouldn't stop. Yeah. And then Brian thought I was dying. So he took me to the hospital. So we went to the hospital last night, and where they didn't acknowledge me. And so I'm in a hospital gown in the bed in Bushwick. And then I just get up. I literally escape. I tuck my hospital gown into my pants and I run out of the hospital. And the woman's like, where are you going? And I'm like, I wasn't acknowledged, so I'm leaving. And she goes, okay, I don't care. So then we got back to the hospital.
I'm sort of shocked that you're recording right now, because when I had that, I just wanted to. So I
it sounds like a fake excuse if I told you I
food. No, yes. Okay, so this is what happened to me. I had another podcasting. Quite frankly, all I've been doing in February is vomiting and podcasting. I had another podcast.
Guess what? They're the same thing. Guess what? Podcast is vomiting.
Podcast equals vomit.
I had a podcast that I had to do like 2 days, maybe 3 days after my big, what I thought was food poisoning. And it was the second time I had rescheduled. And the first time was because of a family, like a legitimate family emergency. And I was like, cannot reschedule it. Like, I cannot reschedule this podcast twice, once for a family emergency and once for food poisoning.
Totally.
Like, that sounds like the fakest thing. So, but yes, to affirm your experience of the cartoonishness of the vomiting, wow, I didn't know. I mean, I legitimately thought I was going to break a rib.
Oh my God.
Because of the violence of which, the violence of the output.
Yeah. And then I was ashamed because I had been out at a bar and I was like, I had like 3 or 4 drinks, which is unfortunately to me extremely normal. And so I was like, I don't think I'm like, and like, I was like, did I drink too much?
No, you know what it's like when you throw up from drinking. It's a different.
It was bad.
You know what it's like.
You know what it's like.
For some reason, real bitch. House. You know what it's like.
For some reason, I heard you saying that in the Lauren Conrad talking to Jen Bunny famous quote, which is like, you know what you did, Jen.
Anyway, so I woke up. I also got it all over my lover's bed, which is sexy. Anyways, now I'm in a basement and I'm just kind of shaken.
No, there was something about it that was like true intimacy. I did not admittedly get it on the bed, but I did have a bucket by the bed. And then also our bathroom is like shares a wall with our bedroom.
Oh,
and so I was just going from room to room, just like.
How long did it last?
And it, I mean, I would say the actual throwing up lasted a little less than 24 hours.
Okay.
But then I was fully, like, semi-bedridden for at least 3 days. And then,
oh, God.
And then, like, the next few days, I was able to leave and do something if I needed to, but I would prefer to be in bed. And it was also the week of Matthew's birthday, and I surprised him with tickets to the Philharmonic. So I was literally
I saw the picture.
Like, in a blazer at the Philharmonic, just being like,
no.
And just being like, just get through this, man.
No,
oh my God,
tough.
It sounds like hell. For one, for me, it would be hard even just to go to a Philharmonic. And then for two, it would be hard for me to have norovirus. So to have both and have them come together would be such a gauntlet to run.
The intersection of norovirus and the Philharmonic.
And the Philharmonic.
That's actually funny because my friend I was with last night was like, I just had food poisoning last week. Anyways, whatever. Now we're circling back.
No,
but what
I'm
I will
telling
say,
you, that's what it is. Yeah,
in college, my musical theater comedy troupe called the Triangle Club, shout out, we went on our like winter tour and there was a norovirus thing going around, so everyone was on this tour bus violently vomiting. It was comical. And then the lead was running off stage puking in the wings, going back singing her songs. What was it called though? We called it something. Anyways,
well, you know, I recently was watching an interview with Pink exclamation point. And
no,
she was
I love
talking
that.
About,
I love that thing going around. I love that thing going around of her and Kelly Clarkson singing songs together. Sorry.
Wait, I haven't. That's one. You know how sometimes there's a classic thing that you see going around, but you have not actually made the move to press click?
Totally.
That's how I feel about that. I can literally see the thumbnail in my mind when you say that, but I have not actually I have not made the decision.
Bitch, you're now just a thumbnail in click. My mind.
It's
that's
just
all you'll
really
ever be.
You could take it at thumbnail value. It's really just like, it's really just like them singing songs. But
yeah. Don't you think thumbnail in my mind could be a Catherine Cohen song?
Defo.
Totally. Thumbnail in my mind.
But Pink was saying that she was talking about how difficult it is to, of course, be a mother as well as a pop star. And so she was talking about how she takes her kids on tour with her. And one time they all got norovirus and then they got it. And she was like, it was sort of like her listing all the things that went wrong. She was like, we got norovirus, then they got a cold, then I had food poisoning. And at some point you're like, why am I doing this?
Wait, I wonder if
us podcasting.
Wait, so norovirus isn't norovirus isn't new, I guess. And I do want to move away from norovirus as a topic.
Yeah, we can move away.
I'm sorry, but I feel really taken care of that you knew what I was talking about.
Of course.
Because I was quite ashamed. Waking
do
up.
Not ever I be ashamed about I'm anything your body does.
Don't ever feel ashamed about having neurovirus.
Escape. I escaped.
Wait. So, George, what are you up to this week?
Well, so as you both know, you're sort of catching me at a transitional phase because Gawker 2.0, the website that I worked at for a year and a half, shut down.
Oh, yeah.
This month.
I'm so sorry. It sucks.
Thank you. No, I'm like, I'm sort of like, I'm at peace with it. And I'm like ready to sort of like hit the ground running. But it is just like that month post. Because the entire time I was there, I was like, I loved everyone I worked with. And I was very sort of honored to be there. And I was such a big reader of old Gawker that I was like very tickled that I got to sort of be part of it. But then the entire time I was like, you know, never doing all the comedy stuff that I wanted to be doing. Mm-hmm. Like there were like things that I was working on that I'd be like, well, I finished a draft of this 6 months ago. When am I going to like look at it again?
You know, yeah.
Because it was like a full-time job it would have been sort of impossible to half-ass because I had to sort of just like be on Slack every second of every day. Anyway, so then when I, you know, of course I was sad when it shut down, but I was also like, okay, this is my chance. Like I've been saying now for a year and a half, like, all these things that I've been putting off and all these projects and all these things that I've been like dropping the ball on, like now I finally have all the free time in the world. And, you know, having free time is complicated because 100%. It is very easy to sort of let the day go by.
Totally. Days disappear. It's crazy.
No, days disappear. And, or you'll have like one day. There's like something that I'm working on with a friend that we're writing together. And we had like one day where we were together in a room and like made so much progress. And I was like, mm-hmm. I can feel it. This is momentum. And then like the next day I woke up and was on Twitter all day.
You couldn't feel it. It wasn't momentum. And yes. You were going on Twitter.
Yeah.
Wait, when you said Slack, it did remind me of, like, I'm so, like, I never, when I was in on Office, like, it was before Slack, and the only office I was ever in where Slack was a thing, I just unlocked this memory. Is there was, like, a month period during, it was November 2000, it was October, November 2016, so it was during that amazing, famous election, and, the election famous for being amazing. And me and Mary Beth Barone worked at this company where you had to, like, it was like a startup where they, like, moms filled out questionnaires about their young girls. And then you, from the questionnaire, would assign them a category of, like sporty one, sporty two, like normal, like sure. Diva or whatever.
Yeah,
and then,
yeah.
Whatever their diagnostic was, then you would go to the racks and you would decide what pieces they, which peplums that this young girl would
what
want.
What was this job?
It was like, I don't want to say the company's name, but that was the job. I just said was the job. And
you
I
know what's
like,
crazy is that they probably advertised it as like clothes picked by AI.
Okay,
more like clothes picked by AI, more like clothes picked by gay guy. And so, but I remember like doing a box and like the woman who was training was like, I remember her being like, so these leggings are really would be something that more of a sporty one girl would wear, and a sporty two girl would wear something more.
This
like
is
that.
Crazy.
And I was like, oh, totally. Like, this is totally sporty two. I don't know why I was thinking
that is so, so funny. Much.
Was there training where you learned how to distinguish between all the different types?
Well, yeah. Oh, maybe they got a questionnaire and they got categorized. Like, maybe, like, we got, maybe when the girl came across our desk, she was already put into one of these boxes.
Right.
Like,
but then for you to, let's say you get sporty too,
yeah,
how do you know what to pick? Is there a,
the first couple of days they sat us down. It was me, Mary Beth, and like four other people. I got fired in truly days because I remember one day they were like, you're not doing anything. Like, they're like, one day that was like, you only made two boxes today. Like, you should have made many more boxes. I was like, well, two.
Wait,
is what
say,
I had
say the name of the company and we'll bleep it. It was like Fab Fit Fun.
You're going to love it.
Shut the fuck up.
And let me just say, because we bleeped it so people won't be able to hear what it is, I'll just say this. It's not a name you'd recognize.
Yeah.
The company does not exist anymore.
So there was definitely a day early on where they walked us through their like fall line and they were like, these are the different things that the different types of girl would like. I want to get that job again. It was so fun.
I want the pamphlet immediately. I wonder what kind of girl I am.
I know. I wish I could remember all the types. I just
it's crazy story. That like, it's crazy that 98% of companies are scams.
Oh, 100%.
Like yeah. someone fully got funding for that, and then it even though I'm sure it made no money, someone left, like the CEO left richer than ever and got a new house.
And that CEO, Elizabeth Holmes.
Yeah. Wait, one more thing I'll
before
say about that company.
Before Theranos, there was Girly One Box.
Girl Boss One. So girl. I got, she's a like Girl Boss One, so she would really want a pencil skirt. Wait, one more thing I'll say, I remember that job is like, there were some pieces, the moms could write comments about the kids. So they could like say like, in addition to knowing that she's like sporty one or like,
you could be like, she looks ugly in this.
Yeah. They could give you like more details. So like, I remember there would be some pieces that were really popular, like a pink peplum top that like all the girls, like that kind of could apply to all the types. And so like everyone loved it. And I remember the girl who was shooting us was like, so these were running low on because they're so popular. And so I want you to really use your discretion and like only put one of these pieces in the box if you could tell it's something that this girl would really love. And if not, please save it.
I'm
always like trying to be like, oh, God, I want to give her this top. I just don't know if she'll appreciate it enough. Like, will this top, like, should it go to a better girl? Like, it was so stressful. That's why I was only doing two boxes. I was like stressed out about like which girl should get this top. You know what I mean? I was like, I shouldn't have this much power.
My only Slack job was that I worked at the Casper mattress showroom. And for some reason that meant I needed a Casper email and Slack account. But
of course.
It was such a good job because we would just like, I would literally just show up and like lay on the bed until someone came to try it. And then I'd be like roused from my slumber and I'd be like, oh, this is the bed. And they'd be like, okay. And then they'd be like, can I buy it here? And I was like, no, you have to buy it online. And they're like, okay, bye.
Oh my God. That's like Bonobos.
Yeah. Remember when like the UCB single-handedly employed everyone at Bonobos?
Oh my God. I was always applying to those jobs that everyone at UCB had, and I was always getting told no. Like, but it was
Bonobos. Like I tried to get a job at Squarespace via
UCB. Squarespace,
and they said no to me.
When I tell you I went into Squarespace headquarters and sat a gauntlet of three consecutive one-hour interviews and then didn't get it, it was the craziest thing that's ever happened to me.
Wait, George, I saw you did, because I did the, what are they calling it? Not ASCAP, but the new...
Rat Scrap.
Oh, rat, yeah, Scrap. Rat Scraps.
I saw you did that. I did it last night. I saw you did it the other week. It was so fun, wasn't it?
I know. It was like, it's funny because... I mean, it's very TBT. It's funny. Yeah. Like, I sort of missed the boat on the UCB. I mean, I used to do a lot of stand-up shows at UCB, but I never did classes there. Yeah, I've never done improv. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah, that's really cool.
But I always, it was one of those things that I just knew as, like, a New York institution. Like, oh, my God, that's, you know... Aubrey Plaza is the monologist at ASCAP. This
totally.
And then like Amy Poehler showed up. Ah, you know.
Yeah.
That was always so. I'm sorry, Allison. Yeah, telling me to move my mic closer. How's this, Allison? Sorry, I am fully laying in bed. Okay. I hope you don't see. I hope I'm not being disrespectful. I'm just. This is kind of what I'm working with today.
Well, you are not only in bed, but it does seem like you maybe have your windows like taped shut.
No, the issue is that I'm at my boyfriend's house. No, I'm in the basement, so there are no windows.
Oh, fun.
Kind
of because I sort of am getting. This is maybe the best natural light I've ever gotten. I'm looking
at myself, and I really do look
glowing.
Now,
what was I saying? Oh yeah, Rat Scraps. Yeah, improv. No, it was very fun and. I was sort of actually Sam and I were talking about this. We were like, Rat Scraps was very fun, but we were like, what is more depressing, like a bad improv show or a bad stand-up show? And I was making the argument that a bad improv show is worse. And then the next day I did the worst stand-up show of my life. Oh. And I was like, oh no, this is infinitely
what show,
worse.
What was the worst show of your life?
It was just like, it just felt very like 2014. Like it was just like, you know, truly one of those rooms that looks like it was abandoned for a reason. You're like, this isn't like a bar's back room. This is a bar's storage facility. Oh, like,
abandoned for a reason is such a good title too.
And then you're like, and then there's like a couple of people and you're like, there's a couple of people and you're like, oh, like they got, you know, I wonder how these people like found out about it. And then you realize it's just like, one comic brought three friends and that's it. That's the entire audience.
Oh,
and then
God.
They like leave after her set.
Where was it?
Did you
wait, but
it was in Brooklyn. It was at a bar in Brooklyn.
Hey, say no more. Where was
it?
Your
was
not
a bar you would recognize.
Was
yeah.
Brooklyn.
Were either of you guys like in the scene when we were doing lots of improv shows at that space downtown that was like literally a youth hostel?
Yes, I know exactly saying, what you're talking about. Where people were like come back by with their toothbrushes.
Yeah, it was so crazy. I was, and you were like using
your
bathroom.
You had to buzz up, and you had to be like, "Hey, I'm here for the show."
Why was every show there for a little while? It was
what
so
was that
crazy.
Called?
I wish I could remember what it was called. I was.
Oh,
so
I feel
drunk
young again. You guys, I'm in Bushwick in a basement. I know.
I was talking to someone we know that has sort of. Hit it big. And we were talking about like, she was like back in New York and doing a couple shows or something. And she said something along the lines of like, you know, it's so nice to just like be back down to earth and like do, you know, like just like feel like the good old days. And I was like, yeah. So this is for sure still my life.
Oh my God.
Yeah. This is still the days for me.
For me, I'm definitely in the before part of my narrative.
Yeah. For you, they're the good old days. For me, they're the bad current days, but no worries.
Yeah.
No worries, queen.
George, how long are you Matt going strong now? And I'm apologizing. I do like Matthew is one of those gays that's like, don't call me Matt, right?
Well, it's weird because I sort of entered the fray late enough that I can't call him Matt, but everyone else calls him Maddie. And I'm the closest
Maddie.
Person in his life. And Matt. The only
besides
one
me. Though, besides me.
I literally, we're like out to dinner or something and everyone is calling him Maddie and I am calling him Matthew as though I'm like the IRS.
Yeah.
And at this point, it's like too late to change. He doesn't really like Matt because I think Matt is sort of like maybe what people called him when he was a kid or like what his dad calls him or like what people called him in school. And then he sort of rebranded as Matthew. And also, I think for a journalist like himself, you know, it's his byline. Like it's very like it has to be consistent. Like that is what it says under the headline of something he wrote. So he feels strongly about it. But no, I literally everyone calls him Maddie except me. And it's sort of a. point of, not point of contention, but just internally something that I
totally,
it makes me stop and think.
It gives you pause.
Yeah. But you know, it's, this podcast is very important to our relationship because I came on,
yes,
like literally right after our first date. And actually, in a way that I think is relatively out of character for me, talked about it in detail, including like, including like our issue. I mean, we don't have to get into it, but like, including like issues that I was personally having with like sex related issues that I was having, like, gosh, outside of that. And like,
y'all go back and give it a listen.
Yeah. So, but yeah,
go back and listen to my friend.
I know
issues.
I've never done it, but I am sort of petrified about it. But yes, it is. I mean, it literally will be something we play at our wedding. Like, it is
oh
me.
My God.
It is like the, it is me publicly describing our first date.
That's
to
so sweet.
Your
also,
our beautiful listener.
Another former guest had set you up. So it's like firmly.
That's right.
Firmly,
oh, yeah.
Firmly.
So was that 3 years ago?
Yes.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was a little over 3 years ago because we got together. Our first date was December of 2019. And I probably came on the podcast like a little after that.
And
yeah.
And then you, now you live together.
And now we live together.
Oh, beautiful.
What was he going to say? But you think you'll get married? You did, after all, say your wedding.
Yeah, I guess.
You got him
I'm
there.
I'm sure.
Gotcha.
I sort of feel neutrally about marriage. Or not neutrally. I guess I do want to get married, but I'm not like, I don't ascribe some like huge meaning to it. But I'm like, yeah, when I imagine myself in 5 years, I do imagine myself married. You know what I mean?
Aww.
Totally. You're like, but not to Matthew, to this other guy who I
yeah,
saw
no,
the chain.
No, I think this, let me tell you something. I think this has run its course, but there's someone else I have my
I'll
eye on.
This at our divorce.
Yeah.
This episode we play at the
funeral. Yeah, this episode is like our breakup episode. It's
totally.
Like, I'm actually going to break up with him on air.
Lately, I've been like obsessed with looking at pictures of engagement rings, LOL.
Oh my gosh.
Interesting. I mean, the thing with weddings is, and this is a sort of not original thing to say, but they really are, it is impossible for them to not be tacky. And I'm sort of like, is there a solution? Is there a solution? I think the one thing Matthew and I sort of landed on was like, just renting out a small restaurant.
Oh, she.
Yeah.
And just like having that be the wedding. Because then you're like, you don't have to deal with any of the aesthetics of weddings. You're just at a restaurant.
Yeah. We can't, you know, we can't have, I just saw on some Instagram story, like, fireworks inside a hotel ballroom, and I was like,
nope.
I'm like, who wants to tell them this is hell on earth?
Oh, I would never want a fireworks inside a hotel ballroom.
No,
I definitely hate
like hotel ballroom culture. It's so scary.
I well, the one thing I'll say about in a restaurant is like, it does, if it's a restaurant wedding, it does to me almost, it could be around feeling like a gay wedding in an HBO show or something. Do you know what I mean?
Well, so, but this
or
is
even
your
Netflix,
point.
Or even Netflix.
No, you're right. Well, I think it's more HBO. But you're pointing to the issue, which is that, like, yes, I thought I found this thing that's like, oh, you can escape the tackiness by going to a restaurant. But no, like, the tackiness is inherent in the fact that you're having a wedding. So
right,
if
like
you do it at a restaurant, then it has the specific tackiness of a gay wedding at a restaurant.
The TV writers are also trying to escape the tackiness for their wedding scenes. And but the problem is once they touch it, it becomes
yes,
tacky. So they're poisoning the well. They're poisoning the well, poisoning
yeah.
the well.
I'm
so
just
you have
picturing...
To be, you have to be not only a couple of
steps it's a real race
society,
to the bottom.
You, exactly.
The
you
John, I'm picturing the John Early characters
yeah.
episode.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, a classic.
A classic.
I recently,
you know, I just went to his taping.
Oh, I'm dying to see it. Is it heaven?
It was great.
Funniest person alive.
It's crazy that like. It's crazy that he has been mother now for like 15 years.
I know yeah. It really is. I think I've moved past definitely. The banquet hall of it all, like I definitely don't. And lately I've been having this thing where it's like, I think if I ever did get married, it would be away, somewhere away, and like literally not even my parents would be there.
That'll show them.
Wait, so do you want to elope or do you want to have friends but not family?
I think I want to have like some friends.
You want to have like Pam and Tommy strangers that you met at the club the night before on the
yeah
beach.
Ooh, that's fun
that
yeah
Did you watch? Did y'all watch the Pamela?
Yeah, if you want to escape, if you want to escape the tackiness of weddings, go for a sort of Pam and Tommy vibe.
Yeah.
It honestly was the pictures. I'm like, this actually is chic. It's like literally they're in bathing suits. That they met their maid of honor the night before at the club. I'm like, that's powerful stuff.
I started watching that show and then saw that Pam Anderson did not approve it and then immediately stopped. I was like, I have to draw the line somewhere.
Oh, I support women. I was saying I watched the her documentary.
Oh, I need to
it's
watch
very
that.
Good.
I sort of, you know, I know we are doing this a lot where we like reevaluate things from the 90s, and sometimes I get a little tired of it. Because it's sort of like, I actually don't need to reevaluate Paris Hilton. You know what I mean?
I know.
But I think Pam is one of the people, I would say for me, the biggest ones are Pam and Courtney Love are like the two people I am genuinely interested in having that conversation. As they say.
Yeah. You want to sit your ass down and watch and listen and open your ears.
I want to sit my ass down and listen when it comes to Pam Anderson and Courtney Love.
Yeah. Okay, so I have to bring something up. If we're going to talk about television, if we're going to talk about the art form of the documentary, I have to bring up Stolen Youth, the Sarah Lawrence
doc. I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, you know, my friend worked on that.
Really? I would love
to. Yeah, my friend worked on it.
Can you ask your friend? Can you ask your friend? Why didn't they follow up with whatever happened to Talia?
Okay, I'll ask.
I don't want spoilers.
Should I watch it, Pat?
It gets so dark. It gets really dark. What I will say is, this is not a spoiler, but they do promote it as a sex cult. I think to kind of have I said this on air before? I hope not. Because I've been saying it like all over town. But like, they promote it as a sex cult, and I think to piggyback off of the success of NXIVM, which was a bona fide sex cult.
No, it's not a sex cult.
It is a yard work cult with one throuple. Yeah. And that does not mean it's a sex cult.
I read the article the show is based on. Well, this is my other thing. And I'm sure the documentary is good, but I'm also like, the way everything now has to be like an article, then a documentary series, then a miniseries, then a film, then like an article based on the film. You know, I don't know. I mean, I read the article. It took like 15 minutes. Why do I have to dedicate a full month of my life to it?
Totally. Well, the Sarah Lawrence doc is like 3 hour plus apps. It's pretty easy. It starts a little bit slow where you're like, wait, do I care? But then it gets so dark and crazy and you're like, okay, I'm in.
Okay. All right. I'm sold.
You know, I'm kind of like over my true crime era, as they say on TikTok.
I'm sorry to say, but like, or not sorry to say, actually don't give a fuck. But like when you this is also how I feel about, and maybe this is problematic, but this is how I feel about a lot of like book length nonfiction, where I'm like, if I read the New York Times review of this book, it will tell me all the interesting points that are made in the book. Like if there's a book about, you know, the founding of Google or something, and it's like about the you know, that era of Silicon Valley, blah blah, something that I'm like in theory interested in, I can just read a review of it that'll tell me sort of the most shocking revelations in that book.
Totally. I read this like I saw this really long Twitter thread that was like,
exactly, like I'm not gonna read Spare, but I know all the revelations in it.
All the dick stuff.
I saw this long Twitter thread about like Hollywood's relationship with IP, and I was like, I would never read this, but like, I wonder what it says. Do you know what I mean?
My dad sent me an article about like cybersecurity or something. And
wait, Hollywood's so relationship with IP?
Just because like everything's based on everything, and it was like, I read the first couple tweets, and it was like, so I was like, what are you talking about? But it was like trying to say that Hollywood like isn't obsessed with IP, but like it seems like they are, and I was like, I don't care. I was like, this tweet thread should be a movie.
I just realized I'm missing therapy right now. LOL.
Oh my gosh, I need to go back.
I'm sorry. It's because we keep moving our time, so it's kind of not my fault. And this is my therapy.
I need to go back to therapy so badly. It's not even funny. Are you in therapy, George?
Me too. Can we talk about that?
Okay, let's have that conversation.
Wait, so I think we should revisit, now that we have you back, what do we think about, who were you, who are you, and who do you want to be 3 years later?
That's fascinating. I wasn't sure if as a second time guest I would get asked the question.
Yeah, and that's good.
Do you think it's fun to be asked it, or do you think it's
like, I do. Well, you know what? I must say I contemplated preparing something, and then I was like, no, they're not going to ask a second time, so then I didn't prepare something. But now you're going to get the raw and unfiltered answer, because I I actually decided consciously to not prepare.
Great.
Yeah, I think I wouldn't want you to come in and prepare with the who are you, who are you, who do you want to be? Like, I would never want that ever.
Yeah.
And I also think as, you know, you grow into yourself, who you were changes.
I want to be completely open, honest, and candid with both of you. Audio and video is fully freezing every 2 seconds.
Oh, oh really? I'm sorry.
Oh, my God.
Do you mind
I'm sorry.
If I, like, leave the Zoom and come back? Would that be crazy?
Yeah.
Go
he
for it.
He never comes back.
Wait, okay. I disconnected my, like, monitor and external camera so that maybe my computer will have more energy to devote to this Zoom. And in fact, you're both already even better.
Okay, good.
Sorry. I hate technical difficulties because they immediately ruin any momentum.
No, but you also can't ignore them because then you feel absolutely crazy.
I know, that's the thing. I was like, this is only going to get worse. And my biggest fear is like me dealing with a technical difficulty, but no one knowing about my struggle. So they just think I'm being uninteresting and like not quick enough and taking like 5 seconds to come up with a quip. It's like you say something and then 5 seconds later, I'm like, that's what she said. Well, it's like, well,
yeah, George, that should have taken you a lot quicker.
Yeah.
I will say, George, to your credit, to my friend George's credit, he's so quick that even through the technical difficulties, I thought, I didn't even notice them.
I didn't notice either.
Okay, good. Because there were entire sentences I did not hear. But then, you know what? I sort of like filled in the blanks. And I have to say, I think I slayed the house down boots. Okay. All right. So, but now you are both, I would say, coming in clearly. I mean, I do miss my gorgeous camera view from my other camera where I looked sort of bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
I think yeah, you're from here too.
Thank you. Okay, so
someone who's actively wearing a hospital gown and lying down, the bar is really low for.
It's funny, Catherine, because you literally are wearing a sweatshirt over it, and there's no way to tell you're wearing a hospital gown, but you keep referencing it.
I need everyone to know.
Oh my God, there it is. At first, when you first said it, I was like, no one tell her she's not wearing it.
This is so sad and scary. This is so sad and scary that I went to the hospital.
Are you someone who how do I put this, like, goes to a hospital easily? Like, are you like, oh, something's wrong, I'm gonna go to the ER?
No, I think, not to be dramatic, but I think, not to get so dark, but like a year and a half ago, I think I was like roofied, and so I think when I came home at a bar throwing up, I think Brian and I were kind of like, totally. Holy shit, like, what if something happened again? And so we were just being hyper cautious,
of course. Well, luckily the hospital did not help in the least.
They actually couldn't have done less. They did take my pee, but then he came over to take my blood and I was like, I don't want to give it to you. And he was like, okay. And then I left.
It's truly insane. I realize that it's not original to talk about how the healthcare system is, how everyone should be tried at the Hague. But like, I'm legitimately not joking when I say that so my family lives in Greece, as everyone in the world knows. And I'm legitimately not joking when I say that even at the peak of the Greek financial crisis, when it was literally like a collapsing country, I would still go there for medical care.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Legitimately, I would be like, when I visit my family once a year, I'm going to the dentist, I'm getting my physical, and I'm like seeing if there's any, like, I, you know, if any sort of pre-existing medical conditions that I have, I'm like going there to get them checked out. I would say my distrust of the medical system in America is like akin to that of an anti-vaxxer.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'm triple vaxxed.
Yeah.
Don't come for me, bitch.
Do not come for my friend. He's triple vaxxed. And
yeah. No, I think in general, I don't go to the hospital easily, but I really did in college. I adored going to the like medical.
Well, of course, because in college, it's like a privatized boutique.
It's heaven.
It's a boutique hospital. You go there, they're like, oh, yeah. You're like, we have Kiehl's products.
No, truly. I'm like, I have a scab on my foot. They're like, come on in, girl. We got you.
They're like, come on in. You want $1 million.
Yeah, truly.
I never went to my college like health people, except for when I had a tonsil abscess. But I used to go to my like elementary school nurse every period, like every period on the period. I'm like checking back into the hospital of elementary school. And my nurse was, my nurse peed really loud.
Wow. Wait, do you know what I was always worried about? It was the mental health center in college, because that I feel like something was going, they were talking to people. Like, I feel like you could go there once and they would like put you on suicide watch and then make you take a year off.
Totally. Yeah.
Don't you like that sort of scared me? And I'm very pro therapy and have certainly benefited from mental health services in the past. But there was something very dishonest about the university mental health center.
I was sent there against my will because I'm interesting. And I remember she like gave me like antidepressants and I like took them for like literally a week. And she's like, whatever you do, don't just stop taking them. And I did just stop taking them and no one ever followed up.
That's well, like, that's the other thing. It's all like trainees. It's like literally undergrads.
Yeah, literally. Yeah, I was like,
you're like, wait, aren't we in bio together? They're like, yeah, I'm gonna prescribe you some pills.
I was like, wait, do you live in Newman or Campion?
Yeah. She's like, I'm actually an admin.
Like scalpel.
I'm here visiting. I'm a high school student. I just got in.
She's performing my lobotomy as for something.
She's performing lobotomy. She's like, this is my internship. I really hope it gets me to Harvard.
Oh my god. So back to business.
Yes, back to business. Back to who was
who
I, who am
you?
I,
and who are you? Who do you want to be? Yeah.
Well, okay. So in terms of who I was. And I'm trying to think. I'm sure I can't remember what I talked about last time I was here, but I'm sure I talked about my childhood.
Yeah.
Yes. Sort of grew up between the United States and Greece. And then spent a significant amount of time in California for college. Then I lived in Boston, which is where I famously started doing stand-up comedy.
Wait, you went to Stanford, right?
I did. But then when I was in Boston, I really cut my teeth doing bar shows at bars owned by sort of MAGA supporters. Yeah. And when I tell you it builds character, I'm not coming, folks.
My first memories of meeting you, George, like I remember like when you were like, or, like all of a sudden I first started knowing who you were. I was like, that's that kid George who like has clear glasses. Like you had like those clear rim glasses.
Yeah. I remember.
Iconic.
I was like, yeah. God, I'm like, sometimes I think when I was sort of new to the scene, I didn't take enough advantage of like, now on the outside, seeing how the allure of someone being you, where I'm like, I want to know everything about you. I'm like, I should have like built up that mystery. Like, who is this gay with clear glasses that came from Boston? Whereas I was so afraid of everyone and I thought everyone thought I was like, unfunny that I didn't.
Oh my god!
I struggle with new people, so for me, it's good. I think that you didn't lean into.
I feel very out of the loop.
I struggle with new people too, but then every now and then someone comes along. Like, okay, so like I remember when I first saw Natalie Rotter Lightman perform, and I was like, oh, finally someone who's good at stand up comedy.
Yeah.
Or like even when I know Richard Perez has been around for a while, but I think he really sort of like blew up in the last, year and a half.
Yeah.
And that was also like, oh, wow. Like there are still new people that are really, really talented and that it's like exciting. And it's actually like if you consider all of us to be part of a sort of community, it actually like really helps when someone new and refreshing comes along and people are excited about it. And it also like. I don't know, ruffle some feathers and people, I don't know. I think it's sort of fun. But totally. Having said that, I'm definitely not in the loop in terms of like going to, I don't know, open mics or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think it is, you're right. Cause I feel like things are finally starting to feel like there is a scene again because it was sort of all on pause.
Yeah.
So
I know.
Long. So it's
I'm still
people are excited about shows and stuff like that.
Yeah. I feel like I was even out of the loop for longer. Maybe you guys feel this way too, where I was like, when things did reopen, I was like, I'm not ready to sort of pretend things are normal again. And I don't even mean that in the epidemiological sense. I just mean like, I need time to process. I'm not going to like go back on stage and be like, Tinder, like,
yeah,
it just seemed crazy to me. I remember like when, like truly the first week things reopened, people were posting like posters of their upcoming shows. And I was like, oh my god, take a second.
Yeah, I know.
That was me. That was 100% me forcing it, making it, trying to film my special from 2019. The moment that I got vaccinated, it was so weird. But
okay, so who was I? So yes. Right,
yeah, I'm almost curious like if you think like who were you the last time you were on the pod and how have you
changed? Oh, okay, that's actually that, you know what? That's an excellent question. Well, okay, so I guess we can go personal and professional. I'll go personal first. I think last time I was on the pod, well, I'll say this. I was sort of single for the first time in my adult life, really, last time I was on the podcast.
Yeah.
Because I had a long relationship in my 20s that lasted 6 years.
That's so crazy.
And it was like, it was my college boyfriend that I started dating my senior year of college. And even before that, I mean, I hooked up with people in college, but I never really went through a slutty phase. It was sort of like, you know, it's like at a party, maybe I'd hook up with someone, but then it would be like 4 weeks until the next time. Like it was not.
That's actually a great cadence. I think every 4 weeks is a great cadence.
Thank you. And then of course, because I had a sort of debilitating body dysmorphia, I would kiss someone at a party or something. And then it was clearly going somewhere. And I'd be like, well, if they saw me naked, they would call the police. So I can't go home with them. I would be arrested. So I was sort of like, I was single for the first time. Well, after my ex and I broke up, there was a year where I was really like, A, mourning the relationship, B, sort of like, I think we were still, if not in love with each other, then it was difficult to like break that bond because we like really sort of grew up together.
Yeah, you lived together for a bit afterwards.
We lived together for a bit, but it wasn't just that. It was like, we went from living together in college in the same dorm to then like being together in California to then doing long distance where they were in New York and I was in Boston. And then finally, after 2 years of long distance, like both of us sort of like coming out of the rubble of, you know, like Last of Us style, finally living together. And then it all imploded when we were living together. So it was just like such a, you know, just like a sort of like bittersweet end to the whole thing. Like we were like waiting for this moment of living together as adults after like 5 years together. And then it just like sort of didn't work out. Anyway, but then when I was single, I feel like when I went on my first date with Matthew, I was like, that was when I had started to be comfortable dating again. Like I had been on a couple of dates. I had like maybe hooked up with like one or two other people. Like it was very,
great cadence.
Very new.
I love my friend's cadence.
You know, I used to really want to name my daughter Cadence. How bleak as fuck.
Oh, I would not name
so
it.
So funny.
And you know, I want to name Cadence and I wanted the boy to be Bradley.
Bradley's even worse than Cadence.
Cadence and Bradley. That sucks.
I don't know what I would name my kids.
It's okay.
I actually have a name picked up for a girl and I think Matthew doesn't approve of it, but we'll talk about that later.
Oh, you can't share.
And that's why I came on this podcast to break up with
him. Yeah. Wait, so, you don't feel comfortable sharing what the name is?
No, I can share what the name is. The name is Anna. It's just a very simple name. But it's,
oh, yeah, that's cool.
That's a beautiful name.
It's like I still have. She's alive. I have a sort of distant aunt that I'm very close to who's a therapist and who I've always admired. And she was sort of like the one person in our family that was like, not the one person, but she was always sort of like international and cool and urban and like went to, you know, like used to live in the village. And I always thought like, I don't know. I always thought her life was so glamorous and still do. And then like, there was other things like my favorite Greek pop star is named Anna. Like
I love
all this
that
stuff.
Name. It's so beautiful.
But I think for Matthew, it might have been, I can't remember the details. So apologies if this is wrong, but I think like some girl he either dated when he was still closeted or like a girl who went to high school. There's someone was named Anna in his life. And then I also think because he was in the fashion world for so long, the specter of Anna Wintour is so big that like, I feel like when you just say the word Anna to someone who works in fashion, all they can think of is Anna Wintour.
Totally. Oh my God.
I don't want my baby to be named after Anna Wintour, even though I think she's a badass and a iconic
and a queen. Girl boss.
Yeah,
girl boss.
My ex therapist he always every day revealed as if for the first time that he before pivoting to therapy had worked as like an intern at Vogue, and he would always be trying to make parallels. Like I would talk about like things I was stressed out about comedy or like friends or stuff, and like he'd be like, yeah, it's a lot like when I worked at Vogue. I don't know if I've ever told you this. Before I pivoted to therapy, I did work at Vogue. And then he was haunted by the specter of Anna Wintour and was always like kind of processing his trauma around it. And I was like, okay, no offense, but it's like, you need to like do that on your own time. Like, I'm not here to like unpack Anna Wintour with you.
I would say about 70% of Manhattanites at any given point are processing their trauma about Anna Wintour. So basically, I would say what happened with Matthew was very much like when you're least looking at it, when you're least, when you least expected, love will come.
When you're least looking at it the least.
And in fact,
the paint will dry. The paint will dry when you're looking at it the least.
A watch pot never boils. And I think it was that way for Matthew too, because he had just come out of a relationship and was not looking for anything serious. But
wait, can you remind me, what's your guys' age story?
We are, I think, like 7.5 years apart.
Oh my God, I did not realize that.
That is so erotic.
It is incredibly erotic. But then people are violently shocked, as you just were, when I say that, because he actually looks way, way younger.
Are me and you the same age, George? Or you're younger than me?
I am 31.
Wow, you're significantly younger than me.
No, I'm about a year and a half younger than you.
Scott was a senior when we were freshmen. So
I'm 34. I'm going to be 34. Yeah, I'm going to be 35 not in so long.
That's no shocking. Way. You're 34?
Yeah.
Hot.
We have the exact same age difference as Pete Buttigieg and Chastain.
It's a really good omen.
And that's why when we went on that first date, you know, it didn't go well. I didn't like him. I thought he had a weird vibe. But then when I found out that we have the same age difference as Pete and Chastain, I said, wait a minute. I should give him a chance.
You said, wait a minute. If I could see it, I could be it. And then you got married to Matthew based on Peter. Wait, so you're the Chastain? I'm assuming Chastain's younger.
I'm definitely the Chastain.
Isn't it embarrassing that I don't know anything and I've been calling Ariana DeBose Andrew DeBose probably on multiple audio platforms. Like I was on XM Radio last week and we talked about it. I'm sure I called her Andrea. It's because like I couldn't remember her name. This is what happens to me. I can't remember someone's name, so I Google what I think their name might be. And if results come up, then I'm like, yeah, I was right about their name. But like Google will like know what you mean, unfortunately. So Google's always knowing what I mean when I say my name I think it is. And then like I then move on from that interaction being like, this wrong name is the right name.
Yeah, this is how I kept calling Avatar 2 Avatar the Shape of Water instead of the Way of Water.
Totally.
And the Shape of Water is actually that movie with the fish.
Yeah,
I didn't enjoy that movie. That year I saw that movie on kind of like a date, I think, but now I can't remember with who. And I will say that like that year I randomly saw like a lot of the Oscar movies and that one was like my least favorite one kind of. And then it like won, I think.
It did win. I sort of liked, well, it's now that, you know, when something wins Best Picture, then you're sort of like everyone lines up to have their take. But like without the specter of the Oscars, I was like, this is fun. Like this is original. She's like in love with a fish.
Yeah, I guess I get bored so easily. I made the mistake of with many film gays one time saying that I thought that Phantom Thread was boring. And it was as though I had peed on their country's flag. It was though they were patriots and I peed on their country's flag. And then they were talking about it. And then I the reason I remembered is I just was like looking at my notes up to see if I've ever had any ideas. And I had written down a quote that someone said where it said, every shot is so luscious.
Yeah. People love saying bullshit like that.
It's crazy. Imagine like earnestly being like, every shot is luscious.
But I think that's true.
Literally, like it is true ultimately. But I say this as someone who does love movies and they are such a huge part of my life. But the way quote unquote cinephiles talk about film makes me want to fucking jump off a bridge.
Yeah, for me, like seeing a movie, it's about bunch to crunch, it's about being in a theater, and it's about like having fun and letting your hair down. It's not about like
putting your glasses
beauty
on.
Yeah,
it's not about putting my glasses on, it's hair down, glasses off.
it's like you can pee 5 times and it doesn't matter because like you don't necessarily like you can kind
of
always pick up
when I'm on the edge and I can just go as many times as I want on the edge of the
saw when I was in LA I saw Ant-Man at the Grove and it was heaven.
Okay.
It was just
okay. Letterboxd queen.
It was so bad, but
I haven't
just
seen
like
a movie in theaters in like 14 or 15 years.
Catherine, you are complicit in the death of cinema and need to get your ass up from that bed and go to a film while you have neurovirus.
You need to go to the Grove. You need to walk.
I hope my boyfriend doesn't get it from me.
Well, mine didn't, so there's still hope yet. Wait, Catherine, you don't like going to the movies?
You know, I do. I just haven't done it in a while. You know, it's weird. This sounds so silly, but my ex.
I was just
going to
say your ex.
Movies.
I was just going to say your ex loved movies.
When I was with him, we'd go like all the time. Mm-hmm. And then for some reason, I kind of stopped going
Interesting.
He took that from you. He took a little piece of you. So it's not I didn't even notice. One day were you, well, Catherine Cohen.
You need to reclaim going to the movies for yourself as a strong, independent woman and go alone. Go to Alamo Drafthouse and get a whole pound of fried cauliflower and really enjoy Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yeah, if I was a therapist, I'd say, Catherine, your assignment for this week is to go see 80 for Brady by yourself.
I actually saw a movie this past week that I want to encourage everyone to go see because it's only playing in New York, I think, this week and next. My friend Sophie von Hasselberg is in this amazing film called Give Me Pity. Amazing.
Catherine, I was at a dinner with her recently.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
You guys are so connected socially.
I wonder if I have met her in the past. So we have a mutual friend. Her name is Jenna. And so I will be at dinners with her, but we've never had a real breakthrough one-on-one mm-hmm. interaction. But last time I saw her, she was wearing the sort of iconic outfit where you're like, God, I love New York. Like, yes. She was wearing something that I swear to God had like a full sculpture coming out of the back.
That's amazing.
I kind of want to get sculpture, which is what Ryan O'Connell told me about, which is
I want to get full face surgery. Have I talked most about people that get, yet? I want face surgery.
Most people
wait,
get on their...
no.
I just saw, it's so funny because usually I never think about that stuff, but I saw a clip of something I shot a few months ago and I've never had this reaction where I was like, that woman needs face surgery, but I'm over it.
You know what's crazy? I am so body positive when it comes to face.
Yeah,
and then,
me too.
And then when it comes to body, I'm like, well, if I could get a full body transplant, I would.
1000%. A lot of people get sculpture on their face and it's meant to like restore collagen if you're aging. Mm. But then like one of my friends has gotten it on his butt and had really good like success with it. So I'm like, well, maybe I'll try it. But also I've just been doing butt bridges with weighted things from the home, building a butt from home, and it's been working.
You know, one of the things on my to-do list today is texting a trainer that someone recommended, and I'm gonna for the first time in my life I'm going to start working out seriously.
That's such a tough, I feel like I've had that moment so many times.
Oh, I know, listen, same, and I'm not under any delusion, but
and then I start to resent my trainer in such an intense way for no reason, like when they reach out, I'm like, leave me the fuck alone. But it does feel so good to be strong and in your body.
It's crazy because I live with someone who is just like, I wouldn't say effortlessly, I'm sure it takes effort, but like he just, going to the gym like 3 times a week and then doing Pilates once a week is just like part of his schedule. It is non-negotiable no matter how much work he has.
What time of
day does he go? Like after work, because he has a pretty, you know, he like is sort of on call all day because of work.
He's a
neurosurgeon and he performs lobotomies actually
on college campuses.
Yeah,
I'm kind of like in that camp where like I like to have, you know, I'm always in a tug of war between like I think of things that I do that I want to do and I'm like, okay, everything I would like to do physically, how do I want to spend my time? And then I'll choose certain things and how many times I would like to do them a week. But I will say it's like I have been in this phase where it's like, you know, I've been doing my habit tracking where I color in a box every day that I do something in a different color, depending on which thing it is that I do. But then it does start, and it is non-negotiable, but then it does start to feel sometimes a little bit like a prison cell where I'm like, sometimes it's like, well, if I do all these, if for me to color in all my boxes and then also tend to the rest of my life, that is a full day. And then I have no time for anything else. And the rest of my life can sometimes start falling apart, which is.
Well, this is sort of, yeah. I mean, that is sort of what it comes down to. And the reason why people in Los Angeles all need to be jailed.
Yes.
Because that is what their lives are like. They wake up and they color boxes. And then it gets to the end of the day and they're like, well, mission accomplished. And it's like, have you done anything?
I know.
Oh my God, that's exactly what it is.
Can you leave on going to Los Angeles for 10 weeks on Saturday?
You know what, Pat? I can.
What? Yeah.
Because I feel like it's part of, I don't know, it's part of your year of yes.
It's
yes.
Totally part of my year of yes.
Year of yes. If you're boring,